having difficulty in achieving your dreams and what you really want in life? Would some conversations filled with energy and wisdom come in handy just about now? Welcome to Little Conversations Today with Dan Deegan. It's the little conversations that can bring about the biggest elements of change and empowerment. Take some time out right now to explore the power of these little conversations. Now, here is your host, Dan Deegan.
Well, welcome back to another installment of Little Conversations, Your Conversation Counts. And each week, as you know, we bring to you some of today's thought leaders and talk about some of the little conversations they had as they were on the climb to their success. And it's with an absolute pleasure and honor today that we have Sharon Lecter. Now, if you've listened to the show right from the beginning, you'll know that back in December 2010, a massive storm hit my life. And through that storm, I got introduced to Napoleon Hill's new book, Outwitting the Devil. And Sharon was a big part of that book. And then from Outwitting the Devil, I was introduced to a book called 3 Feet from Gold that Sharon co-authored with Greg Reed as part of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. And since that time, I've had the great honor of not only meeting and interviewing Don Green, the executive director of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, Greg Reed, who's co-authored with Sharon on 3 Feet from Gold, and now we have Sharon on the show. So Sharon, thank you so much for being here. I mean, here you are, founder and CEO of Pay Your Family First, financial education organization and youthpreneur, an innovative way to spark the entrepreneurial spirit in our children. I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. Co-author of the Rich Dad series of books. I mean, your bio goes on and on and on. Sharon, before any of this, so before the Rich Dad series, before Pay Your Family First, before the Napoleon Hill Foundation, what types of little conversations did you have with yourself when you were stepping out to really achieve the greatness you've been able to achieve right now?
Well, I think those little conversations you're talking about can be very positive and they can also be negative. And so the trick is, how can you train those conversations? And I would say for the majority of my life, those little conversations that were going on in my head were negative, telling me I wasn't, you know, I had to work harder, it wasn't good enough, easy for them to say, those kinds of things that end up in Outwitting the Devil. Napoleon Hill says, you know, many times we are our own worst enemy. You know, the devil in the book is probably self-made, human-made inside us, and it resides inside us, so that we tend to hold ourselves back more than other people holding us back. We start to, I call it my own personal rototiller, that guilt and worry that's inside of you that starts eating you up from the inside out, and it keeps you from moving forward and taking that step forward. And so as I matured and as I continued working on in the Rich Dad arena when it comes to money, and realized how much, you know, money can add to that level of self-doubt and lack of confidence, that I realized we really needed to work with people holistically and help them understand that it's not just, you cannot just change your habits related to money. You have to change how you think about it. And in doing that, you can actually build your self-confidence. And so it takes me right back to having read Think and Grow Rich when I was 19, which was really a lot of the source of the positive self-talk that I had. And so I, you know, each one of the listeners, I say, you know, think about yourself at those times when you were struggling, those times when you were fearful. You were the one feeding your mind with those negative thoughts. And that's where you have to stop and say, okay, I'm going to deal with this more a little differently. A friend of mine gave me an exercise to do. She said, okay, so when you catch yourself fearful, or in that conversation of easy for them to say, you're not good enough, you can't do it, just take that thought and imagine yourself that you're in a car and you put that thought into the passenger side and you go, you know, you are a thought. This is not who I am. And is there a lesson I'm supposed to learn from you? In the same exercise, if you have a failure or you come across an obstacle, don't define yourself by it. Take it and put it in that passenger seat and say, I'm still driving my life. I am the one that can choose to let you impact me or not. But what is the lesson you're supposed to teach me? And that allows you to separate that negativity from your being and be able to replace it with positive thoughts.
Sharon, when you talk about trying to find that lesson, is the lesson always apparent right away?
Oh, no, no. you may have a lesson that's apparent right away, and then you may discover 2 to 3 years down the road that maybe there was a bigger lesson at play. I think, you know, as you go through life, you know, anyone on this call can think of a time when they were fearful about something and it felt like the world was going to end, and you got past it, you survived it, and you looked back on it a year later, 2 years later, and you almost laugh because you were much more worked up about it, much more stressed about it than you should have been. But when we allow our emotion to get involved, it heightens that fear, it heightens that stress. And so the lesson that you learn today may be important, but the lesson that you're going to learn when you look back on it in 6 months to a year may even be stronger.
Is there any suggestions that you can give? Because I completely agree. I mean, in the eye of the storm, it's often difficult to see the bigger picture. You know, we almost become so blinded by the issues that the bigger picture or the lesson in it. You know, is there any techniques that you use personally, besides putting it in the passenger seat, that would help any listener kind of stop, take a deep breath, and maybe filter through that storm a little bit?
Yes, one of the things that I say is, you know, people start making statements, you know, I'm horrible, I can't do this, well, you know, and I catch yourself and just start asking yourself questions. Because when you make a statement, you close your mind. And it's kind of the end of the conversation. It's a finality, so you accept it as truth. Instead, say, you know, what? Okay, gosh, I blew that. What did I do wrong? What should I have done differently? And that opens your mind. When you ask a question, it opens your mind, and you become creative. It actually ignites the entrepreneurial spirit because your mind wants to find the answer to the question. And as parents, it's even more important when you're raising your children. Instead of saying, you know, Johnny, I can't afford that. You know, that's a negative statement. It's a closing down word. Say, Johnny, if you really want this, let's figure out how we can afford it. And create a goal, set a goal, let the child earn it in that respect. So, again, it's all in the choices of our words and our thoughts that control whether we're going to surround ourselves with positive energy or negative.
Now, Sharon, when it comes to our choice of words and our choice of thoughts, if we step back to the beginning of our little conversation here, where you said, you know, before the New York Times best-selling books, before, the Sharon that we know as of today, you had a lot of these negative little conversations in your head. What is the big change or what is the shift, if you will, in your conversations from then till your conversations to today? And I'm going to step out on a limb and say, you know, you probably still have a few negative thoughts, but what is the biggest drastic shift that you find in the two variables?
I don't wallow in them as long as I used to. It's okay. Probably the easiest answer to that. We all still have negative thoughts. We all still have fear. And the issue is training yourself to recognize it. And to separate it, like I said, put it in that passenger seat. Of course, I still have negative thoughts. I still have concerns. Every time I pick up a phone call and I'm trying to do a new deal, it's like, okay, what could happen? How am I going to do this? Anyway, and I need to transform myself into energetic and excited about something. But again, it's all in training. It's all in training your mind, auto-suggestion, reminders. With your kids, make sure you give them positive feedback every day on making them feel confident, but also make sure you're honest with them when there's things that they've done wrong, because you know the other end of the spectrum is these children that we've raised in bubbles who have never had to deal with adversity, and that's equally bad. So it's really important that when I look at my life, there are times when we have adversity where it can incapacitate us, and that's okay. The issue is, are you going to let it stay with you forever? Or are you going to say, okay, this has been horrible, and I needed this time to grieve, I needed this time to, assess the situation, and now, okay, I got the situation, I got the lesson, and now I need to move forward. You can't just eliminate the negative thoughts, but you can control them, and you can identify them more quickly.
And once again, that control and identifying is what's going to obviously allow you to remain more in a positive state of mind than a negative state of mind, you know, going back to what we think about expands, right?
Yeah, and so, for instance, you're in a room and a casual acquaintance says something really sarcastic and hurtful to someone, you know, and instead of bringing that into your life by saying, oh, that's he's horrible, just say, I'm so glad he's not a close friend. You know, so again, it's changing the tone and the choice of your words on how you deal with something. Just be proud of yourself for not having somebody that has that kind of negative criticism attitude in your close circle.
Sharon, speaking about negative attitude and criticism, I'd love to, if we could, dip into Outwitting the Devil. Fantastic book, for starters, and definitely anyone on this show that's read it can definitely see why it wasn't published after Napoleon Hill wrote it. And further to that, I completely agree that it was published right when it should have been, you know, after the crisis of 08-09, if you will. The book revolves around, and you touched base on it just a little bit at the beginning of the show, revolves around the single major player in everyone's life, I believe, which is the devil. And the way I took the book was that devil is our negative little conversation that tells us we can't do it. And, you know, we look at Napoleon Hill and the amount of years he spent interviewing all of the most successful people in the world, pretty much at that point. You know, he still had these negative doubts and ideas. And the big thing is that when we read that book, there's a lot of thoughts that I have anyways, and I'd love for you to share, is how did that book actually come about? Like, how did you get involved, and what made that desire, if you will, for you to say, this is something I want to get involved in?
Well, I had known Don Green from the Napoleon Hill Foundation during my Rich Dad days, and my husband and I have a company called Tech Press, and we'd helped them and supported them on some of their international work. And seen each other at the book fairs. And so he called me in March of 2008 and asked me to step into 3 Feet from Gold to help Greg on that project. So that was really my first writing project. But we released that in October of 2009, and that same month, Don called me again. And he said, Sharon, I have this document, this manuscript that's been hiding, it's been locked away in a vault for 73 years, and I'd really like to get your opinion on it. It's called Outwitting the Devil. Well, first I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I've been working so hard to get negativity out of my life. Here's this Outwitting the Devil. And I said, okay, I'll look at it. And so I got it, and I like to, when I'm writing, I like to work at an ocean. So I was over in San Diego, and I sat down to read it. And I was only the fourth or fifth person ever to read it. And Don told me the story. Napoleon Hill, of course, spent his entire life researching the principles of success. He started in 1908 when he was charged by Andrew Carnegie. And the Think and Grow Rich was actually published in 1937. And when he published it, he was quite frustrated because he said, even though people know what they need to do to be successful, which is what I've outlined in this book, Think and Grow Rich, they don't do it. And he himself had lived with that kind of negativity and holding himself back. And so he knew it was such a huge barrier to people reaching success that he sat down and within just a few short months wrote Outwitting the Devil. It was written in 1938, just after publishing Think and Grow Rich. And the title scared Napoleon Hill's wife to death. She was working for the Methodist Church. And she said, you are not going to publish that. It's not going to ever be published. And he died in 1970. She died in 1992. And her sister just passed away a few years ago. And that sister's husband, Charlie Johnson, was the chairman of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. He turned the manuscript over to the foundation at that time, and that's when Don reached out to me. And so as I'm in San Diego and I'm reading this document, just an incredible sense of calm came over me. It was hugely transformational for me personally, and I said, this has got to get out. While Think and Grow Rich is as applicable today as it was when it was released in 1937, I think today we even need that additional kick in the pants to deal with those things that we, you know, that lack of self-confidence, that fear factor. And I don't think the book was, I think there was a greater power at work. I think had that come out in 1938, it may have stunted the popularity and the growth of Think and Grow Rich. I think today it's the perfect time. We're dealing with so many different fears and so many stresses. Outwitting the Devil is a perfect book. And one of the reasons Greg and I are passionately working with the foundation is that we want to re-energize Napoleon Hill's messages to the younger generations, because there's many people out there under the age of 50 who have no clue who he is. And so that's been our mission, and I'm happy to say, thrilled to say, that Outwitting the Devil has really struck a chord with that younger generation like yourself, and even younger, where they read it and they get it and they say, this is awesome material. And it is a transformational work, and I've been blessed and honored to have written 20 books, and I'm lucky and fortunate enough that all of them have been bestsellers. But I will say, of them, this is the most powerful book I've been involved with.
Well, I could definitely put a 100% ironclad guarantee on that for you. Brings clarity to the fog. It opens up thought processes, and once again, everybody, we understand this isn't a show to sell this book, but trust me, it is one of those must-have on your bookshelves, because it brings clarity to the little conversations that can truly ruin your life if you allow them. It'll suck you into that negative vortex, but this book brings clarity to that and just allows you to see through the cloud, the fog, the smoke. We're going to take a quick station break here, and we're going to be back with Sharon. Thank you so much.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus drug discount card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies, but 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Everyone is eligible for RX Savings Plus. There's no age or income restrictions and no paperwork. Simply print a card and start saving on your prescriptions. Start saving today. Enroll and print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Welcome to another episode of Choice Moments, sponsored by JustTwoChoices.com. His high school music teacher claimed he had no aptitude for music. He failed several auditions for musical groups. After one audition, a band leader advised him to stick to his job of driving a truck, saying, "You're never going to make it as a singer," in spite of tough criticism. This singer stuck to his two choices in every moment to go after his dream. At age 19, Elvis Presley stepped into stardom. How do you use your Just Two Choices moments?
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for the keywords World Talk Radio. Once you're a part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings at the World Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our timeline. Just go to facebook.com/World Talk Radio or search for World Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. To reach the show, please call into 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to dan@littleconversationstoday.com. Now, let's get back to the show.
Well, welcome back. And if you haven't been here for the last 20 minutes or so, we're going to ask, where have you been? We're speaking with Sharon Lecter. And Sharon, just before the show, or the break, we were talking about how you got involved with Outwitting the Devil, a manuscript that was written right after Think and Grow Rich was released. And Napoleon Hill's wife's, you know, the world, no one's ready for this. And then you released it. Now, there's got to be some, we were speaking just during the break here, about some of the conflicts, if you will, and some of the little conversations you had. Here you are, I mean, you're already a successful author. What is it going to be like if you co-author with the great Napoleon Hill? Can you share some of the little conversations that went on in your head as this book from, you know, part of the trinity of personal growth was about to be released?
Well, certainly. I mean, I was given this awesome opportunity to take this manuscript and what I call do some precision editing, take out some things that are no longer relevant in today's world. But what I did, I really felt that I needed to preserve Hill's words as he wrote them. So I didn't want to edit the content. So everything that's in the book is as he originally wrote it. But then I chose to what I call annotate it. So, and I changed whatever I wrote is in a different font, and it's bolded so that anyone who is a diehard Napoleon Hill core fan can read through the book and skip my comments. But then if you, what my hope was that my comments would help relate the times of 1938 with what's happening in the world today, and also be a way for people to reflect on some of the things he said in their world today. And thirdly, also bring in a feminine point of view, because in 1937-38, it was still a male-dominated business world. Women were pretty much, if they were teachers and nurses, the only way they were in business. And so it was very much a male-centric philosophy. And so I was able to talk a little bit about my perspective from a woman's point of view. But the overall message about Outwitting the Devil is still Hill's core message, and that's how you can outwit that negativity, outwit that man-made devil. And right at the very beginning, I want to make sure I get this in here, is that Hill says, because there are people who push back, again, out of their own fear, before they even take the time to see what the book is about, they push back because it has the word devil in it. And you know, and I say that's a lesson that you need to learn while you're pushing back, because in the very beginning, Hill says, you know, I'm having this interrogation of the devil. It's not really a conversation with the devil. He's interrogating the devil. And yeah, he says, you, the reader, have the choice. You can think that I'm talking to the real devil, or I'm talking to an imaginary devil, one that you've created in your own mind. It's completely up to you. The issue is, will you learn anything from what I share? And so that's something, again, he's asking a question. You know, are you open-minded enough to read it and say, is there something I can benefit from here? Or are you closed-minded that you're not even going to give it an opportunity?
Well, I'd love to fly right off of that particular point on, and just for everyone listening and for yourself, Sharon, because I'd love to discuss it after, is page 19, Napoleon Hill writes, most real failures are due to limitations which men set up in their own minds. So then you annotated below little line, and then and you quote that particular statement, and you say, a negative mindset and self-doubt can be the primary obstacle to success. With the current economic downturn, far too many people have all their life done everything right right or now for the first time. Facing severe economic adversity, the greatest barrier to their recovery is their own fear and self-doubt instilled by their recent experience. And then this is a really great part, because this really pulls a lot of these little conversations right out of the book, where you say, have you allowed the current economic downturn to overtake you? Have you allowed self-doubt and self-sabotage to hold you back from reaching your dream? So I think it's a fantastic, different idea to the book, because you read Napoleon Hill's words, then you share the words, and the questions you ask really start those little conversations in your head. You know, did I do that? Was that the big takeaway for you that really allowed you to work through Napoleon Hill's material?
Well, that's a big question. There's so much of Napoleon Hill's messages that are powerful, but this one, I think, what I wrote, and again, I use the questions because that's what gets people to start thinking, mm-hmm. not just a comment. So by asking the question, people can start thinking, and maybe their answer is, no, I didn't self-sabotage. I'm doing great. But they probably may know someone who they can say, yeah, but, Susan did or Joe did, and I need to get this book for them. And that's been the greatest thing that I've seen with the people have been gifting this book, because for lots of people, and I know I've said it, you talk till you were blue in the face and they just won't hear you. You're trying to pep talk somebody or get somebody out of a funk and they're just not hearing you. And that happens because of that wall of fear that they put over them. But if they can start reading this book, it kind of cuts through the veil and allows them to start thinking about how maybe that negativity is impacting them in a safe, non-threatening environment.
Sharon, when it comes to the little conversations that we all have, the ones like you were talking about earlier on in the show, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, who am I, so on and so forth. Where do, in your professional opinion, where do these ideas stem from? Because, if we've never gone after it, how do we know, or why do we just assume we can't do it?
Well, that fear of criticism, fear, the fear of loss, fear of failure, typically you'll be able to trace it back to something that happened to you in your childhood. But you may not understand what it is. It may be subconscious fear. And so that's why it's so important when we talk in Think and Grow Rich, Hill talks about auto-suggestion, the power of the subconscious, the power of the brain. And it's very important to understand that each and every one of us, if I ask the question, can you remember a time when you had that deja vu feeling like I've been here before and you can't figure out why? Or can you remember a time when you overreacted? Your child said something to you and you overreacted, or your spouse said something to you, or a business partner, and you overreacted and go, wow, where did that come from? That came from something that's inside your subconscious, that there's a scar or a memory or an injury that hasn't been healed, and it generates that protection mechanism, and from that comes fear, and therefore you overreact. And so by outwitting the devil's suggestions on how to get rid of that, you can start controlling your environment and start feeding your mind with positive things to help mitigate the stuff that's in there and get rid of it and dissipate it. And we've heard people say a past hurt, if you just look at it, reveal it, deal with it, you can get rid of it. Sometimes you need professional help. But the issue is those fears come from us either from our upbringing, our parents, our religious training or lack thereof, things that happened to us with friends, family as we were growing up, or things that happened to us in school, things that happened to us on the playground. You just never quite know maybe where it came from. But if you start acknowledging that there is that issue because you're having this negative self-talk and start working on yourself to recognize it quickly and start having a habit of feeding your mind and your subconscious with positive energy, that use of auto-suggestion, you can start training your subconscious to overcome those fears.
Sharon, thank you so much for being here. Just an honor for myself to have you on the show and share the fantastic knowledge that you have. Before you go, can you share with everybody how they can get a hold of you? You know, I know you can, you're actually writing Think and Grow Rich for Women. So anybody listening, go to Sharon's website, SharonLecter.com. And it's actually there for pre-order, correct, Sharon?
Yes, SharonLecter.com/women. And if you pre-order the book, we'll be able to, you'll get a series of seminars as a bonus for free, and help us get the momentum and the buzz going. And please send it out to all your friends. And please join me at SharonLecter.com. Please, my Facebook page is Sharon Lecter, and my Twitter handle is Sharon Lecter. So it's pretty easy to find me.
Thank you so much, Sharon. We'll be back after this station break with Rico Rakowski, choice expert. We had a little bit of a scheduling conflict with James McPartland, but we brought back Rico, our main sponsor for the show, and we're going to talk about the choice and the vortex. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in the next session.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Welcome to another Choice Thoughts Idea sponsored by JustTwoChoices.com. We all know that apple seeds won't grow into cherry trees and that cherry seeds won't grow into apple trees. Likewise, your thoughts are like seeds and you cannot grow a positive life by using negative thoughts as seeds. So why should you be surprised that your life is not turning out positive if you keep making those choices of negative thought seeds? Just Two Choices, whichever thought seeds you plant is what you will grow your life to be.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective, plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
You are tuned in to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. To reach the show, please call into 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to dan@littleconversationstoday.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back, and we truly hope you enjoyed that first portion of the show, discussing thoughts and ideas with Sharon Lecter. I mean, you know, to think about where Sharon started to where she is today almost is, to most people, it's almost impossible or unbelievable. But you know what? On this portion of the show, as I've said just before the break, we did a little bit of a mix-up. There was some scheduling conflicts, if you will, and we've brought back Rico Rakowski, choice expert. Now, if you remember Rico from the first show, by all means, visit our Little Conversations Today page on the Voice America Network. You can go to littleconversationstoday.com, which will also share that link. Rico has been progressing towards a worldwide global movement about choice because when it comes down to it, it all starts with choice. So just like Sharon was talking about in the beginning period of this show, choice. So Rico, let's talk about the choice that we make when we step out towards our burning desire and how that one choice can lead to other choices. And a lot of the times you make one positive choice, it leads to another positive choice, to another one, to another one, to another one. So first of all, Rico, welcome back. And, you know, we'd like to thank you again for being the sponsor of this show and allowing us for the last few weeks and for a few more weeks coming up to get through this pilot with some beautiful, beautiful people and some fantastic little conversations.
It's an honor and a privilege, Dan. I mean, it's just so much fun working with you, and you know, I really love the Little Conversations Today approach to life. It's beautiful. I mean, it's such a simple reminder of what's actually going on in our heads all the time, anyway, and to be able to use that right there in the present moment is a very powerful tool. So it's an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you know what? the little conversation piece ties right in with the just two choices piece. And you and I have had this conversation numerous times.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, it's fantastic. When it comes to these little conversations, you know, I mean, we just had Sharon Lecter on, who co-authored the entire Rich Dad series of books, Outwitting the Devil, 3 Feet from Gold. Sharon was the third piece or second or third or first, whatever piece of the Trinity, I call it, that has took me from the massive states of believing in failure to where we sit today through 3 Feet from Gold and Outwitting the Devil. Don Green, executive director of Napoleon Hill Foundation, Greg Reed, author, filmmaker, and Sharon, author, I mean, massive leader in the world of financial understanding for children. So with these three people, I made a choice to read these books, and I made a choice to apply the information in these books. But no matter how much – we talked about this in the first episode, the amount of troughs we have. So we've got so many troughs of information. When it comes to choice, Rico, what is the number one key factor that you see when people finally get that idea that choice is where it all starts?
You know, I think the key factor is just what we were talking about just a minute ago, like with little conversations today. It's a matter of bringing it into the present moment awareness that you have the power right there within your hands to make a different choice. You know, my favorite saying is, in the Just Two Choices way of saying things is, out of all the different Just Two Choices possibilities, you know, I say, you know, tell your new story as your choice number one. Always make your choice number one the positive aspect, and tell your new story versus keep telling your old story. And once you're able to use like Just Two Choices or little conversations today, you're able to use it in the present moment. I think that is the key for the turnaround point, because it, as you talked about in the very beginning of the show, as you know, it starts to build momentum. You know, it gets better and better and better the more aware you are and the more those choices that you make. You know, it's almost like shots on goal playing hockey. You know, the more shots you take, the better chance of getting the goal in, and the more of those kind of choices that you take and you build now into your conscious awareness, it starts to take off that way. And I think that's the key, is to just keep chipping away at it.
Okay, well, let's expand on that conscious awareness. I'd like to take you back for a moment to a conversation you and I had. I believe it was the beginning of this week. And we were discussing a few things that are happening, revolving around where I presently sit. And you kind of stopped me. And you said, whoa, Dan, stop. There's three, and you know where I'm going with this. There's three stages, and these three stages actually, I've written a blog about it, did a little conversations TV episode about it, because I believe wholeheartedly they're imperative for everybody to understand. There's three stages of both positive and negative ideas, thoughts, choices. And the first stage is venting. So, And I say both positive and negative, and when a lot of people hear the word venting, they're probably going, well, no, when you vent, it's all venting negative. Whereas I choose to believe, there we go, that word choice,
I
choose to believe that venting can be a positive thing as well, because if something really good happens, you're like, oh my, you know what just happened to me? This was absolutely amazing. And on the flip side of that, I can't believe that happened. So, there's positive and negative venting. The second one is processing. And this was probably out of it all. This was one of the most interesting and expanding ideas that on that particular conversation, because you're absolutely right. We tend to process as we speak. Mm-hmm. So almost as if we're explaining it to ourselves in order to justify it and process it in our own minds, right? And then the third is chronic. And I see it as, and please, if I'm incorrect here, I'd love for you to correct me, is I see that as chronic. You can either be chronically happy or chronically negative. And we all know one of those people where they walk in the room and it's almost like, if you happen to make eye contact, just don't ask how their day was, because I don't have 35 minutes to listen to negativity.
Oh yeah. Right.
So let's talk venting.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm glad you asked that. You mentioned that, Dan, because for me, it was the process that helped me as I was working through Just Two Choices. You know, when I had a relationship fall apart with somebody that I've been with for a while and for several years, and it was real tough. And, you know, and so I used to just reuse the relationship category. You know, there's parts where you just have that day-to-day stuff that happens and you vent on it, you know, whether it's a negative or a positive, you just let that excitement out. And right now, I think most people would relate to, I'll have them relate to the not so positive side of things. Then there's that part that has to do with you're processing it. So in a relationship, for example, that falls apart, you could spend, you know, you could spend a year, you know, processing, gee, what, you know, where did this go wrong? It just depends on the amount of feedback you get from the partner, of course. But you could spend a lot of time processing, and there's a lot of value in processing. It's just being aware that you're processing it because you're looking for your own personal growth. That's where I, you know, that's what I get excited about with processing. And then, of course, the last part being chronic, especially on the negative side, that when it crosses that line, chronic's when it crosses that line that you know, that you kind of end up dumping onto another person the same pattern over and over again that you've talked about 3 or 4 months ago, but you haven't done anything, not you, any of us, you know, we haven't done anything to shift ourselves out of it. So in that relationship situation, if I had spent time talking to people, you know, telling them how upset I was about this relationship falling apart, and I hadn't moved on it for a few months, then that part is what I consider to be chronic. And I love your idea there about it being positive too. You know, just, you know, there's some people who are just, I like the twist to it. Some people are just, as you know, determined to be unhappy. You know, they're just, and so it's kind of when you say, hey, I'm chronically happy. I'm chronically excited about life. You know, I'm venting about the excitement of life. I'm, you know, I'm processing and I'm really having a great time processing. I like that. I really like that aspect as well.
Well, I'd like to just bring everyone's attention, and when this is available for download on our Voice America page, did everyone hear the difference in tone in Rico's voice when he flipped from the negative to the positive aspect of and Rico, it was very apparent, and
Right.
I mean, you're not in a negative state. You're not in a negative vibration right now. But when you were speaking negative, it was this tone. And then all of a sudden you went to positive and the tone just picked right up. And
you
probably didn't even realize it till I brought it to your attention. And now anyone that's going to go back to that is going to go, wow, you're absolutely right. I mean, the choice to live on the positive plane. You know, Zig Ziglar said, positive thinking will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. And, you know, kind of our conversation transitioned into the psychology of quotes. And when you really look at the psychology and the thought process behind that quote, it can take this three-step vortex, I call it, it could turn it into a negative vortex, or it could turn it into a positive vortex. And all of that is based on the choice you make, anyone listening, I make, Rico makes, our children make, to live in the positive state as opposed to the negative state. Am I right or wrong, Rico?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely right on the money. And you're right, too. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, that's, there really are some... how can I phrase it? There really are. Well, I'll just say that we're sloppy about our choices. We kind of learned how to go with the flow with regard to most things being swept away on the negative side, and the conscious choice to stay positive. And I'm really glad you brought that up about the tone of voice, because it's right on the money, absolutely right. And notice the vibration that goes along with it. You know, the excitement that goes along with it. And so, you know, and I like the way Zig Ziglar put it as well. Just two choices, you know, why are we surprised when we choose to go down that negative vent, negative process, negative chronic side, that why are we surprised when it doesn't turn into something positive, you know, because you can't make something positive out of consistent negative.
You're absolutely right. We're going to take a quick station break, and then we're going to come back with Rico Rakowski, choice expert. You can visit Rico at www.just2choices.com. We'll be right back.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus Drug Discount Card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Welcome to another quick insight on how you can change your life by learning how to see just two choices everywhere you go. Sponsored by JustTwoChoices.com. Have you ever noticed all of the Just Two Choices moments you see when you're filling your car up at a gas station? Typically, it goes like this. Will you pay inside or outside? If you pay outside, will you use debit or credit? Then, do you want a receipt? Yes or no? Selecting your grade of gas is one type or another. And then the pump either turns on or it doesn't. Again, Just Two Choices everywhere.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet? Why not? Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are tuned in to Little Conversations today with Dan Deegan. To reach the show, please call into 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to dan@littleconversationstoday.com. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome back. You know, Rico, it's always amazing to honor our sponsors like yourself and some of the other sponsors for commercials, but sometimes you just don't want that interruption in the conversation. So we're going to drag it right back. If you're just joining us, first and foremost, where have you been for the last 40 minutes? And secondly, we're with Rico Rakowski, choice expert. Rico, we were, just before the break, we were discussing the idea and the concept of A, vibration when it comes to discussing negative and positive emotions, B, the idea of psychology behind quotes, C, choosing to live in a positive or negative vortex. Now, here's where... At this point in time of any conversation, usually, and, you know, that could be a paradigm of mine that I just actually realized, but, you know, there comes that Pollyanna. There comes that remark from a lot of people saying, you know, okay, yeah, you know what, Rico, Dan, I agree. Yeah, okay, positive thinking allows you to do everything better than negative thinking does. You know what, Zig Ziglar had bad days. Zig Ziglar got angry. Zig Ziglar got frustrated. Rico gets frustrated. Dan gets frustrated. Sure. And, you know, I'll be the first one to share. Absolutely. I mean, I am human. I live with human emotions. We all get frustrated. But one big key point that I took out of our conversation when we started discussing this, this vortex, if you will. And for everybody listening, it wasn't a positive conversation. I was venting. I was processing and I turned chronic on Rico. And when I turned chronic on Rico in a negative, and I mean, you know, full transparency, Rico, I turned chronic on you in a negative discussion about the same conversation we had 3 months ago. So everybody gets in it. All the experts we have on this show get into a funk. It is human. Like it's, we're human. So Rico, what's that first step towards making the choice to say, that's it, enough of this negativity, I'm going positive?
Well, you know, to me, it just goes back to the awareness that you have that tool already within yourself. And, you know, what came to mind, Dan, and what I was, what was so much fun about that was, you know, the whole conversation that we had before, too, was that how quickly it turned around.
Yes,
because we were both very, you know, we were both aware of the direction that was going on, and kind of like Oh, yeah. And so what I'm, the point I'm getting to is, as I've heard somebody say in the past, they said, each of us gets to decide how much time we get to spend in our anger and, you know, in being upset. It's up to us to decide, you know, if we're going to continue to play this over and over and over again and do it for months, or if we're just going to go ahead and go, ooh, boy, what was I thinking about? You know, thanks for letting me vent. Thanks for letting me process. I appreciate that. And then to step out of that. But again, that comes with practice. And you're exactly right. I mean, I notice for myself, there's times when I have that happen in my life too. But what's cool about it is it only happens for a short period of time because I've made that my new habit. You know, my new habit is saying, oh, I slipped into some venting or some processing here, and I'm starting to cross that line where perhaps it has that bit of a chronic flavor to it or vibration to it. And so, you know, I just make the choice to step out of it and say, you know, Rico, you have another choice here. And the other choice is to look at the positive side and to move myself to the higher vibe. Is that what you had in mind in terms of where you were tracking it to?
Yes, absolutely. And it actually brings me to another point that if you could clarify for the audience, when do we, because, I mean, these are kind of as fine as a razor's edge, you know, when you go from processing to chronic. How would one know? Now, we touched on it a few minutes ago, just before the break, where you'd given one example where if you're talking about the same thing 2 months from now in a negative state, it's become chronic. If you're talking about the same thing 2 months from now in a positive state, it's also chronic. Excuse me. However, I'd much rather be in a chronic positive state than a chronic negative state, because what we think about, what we talk about expands, and I want positivity to expand in my life. But can you share some other symptoms, if you will, maybe some other kind of aha moments that would turn one from saying, oh my gosh, I've just passed that processing into the chronic stage, both on positive and negative?
You know, yeah, because there is a time that, you know, for some people on the positive side, real quickly, as you know, that but I think the signal's the same in both cases. It's the deer in the headlights look if you're standing there talking to the person. Or if you're on the phone and you can't see them, it's that point at which things get real quiet. You know, I think to me that's kind of the signal, like, especially, if I've been talking for a little while and things are getting quiet, that's the signal for me to ask and say, hey, you know, are we still in the game? I appreciate your, you know, I appreciate your listening to this stage, and, you know, and do you have anything you'd like to add? So to me, those are the cues. Just like earlier on in the conversation here, you said, notice the difference in the vibe between when I was talking about something that was negative with regard to this subject, and then I shifted over to, you know, talking about something positive. I think the same happens with people. I think you had a story too about something about like that, where you noticed someone responding that way as well, right? So yeah. You can see it, kind of get that deer in the headlights look, or gets quiet, or sometimes, you know, they speak up about it. So those are the cues that I look for.
You know, and as you and I have, when we first started speaking, we first got together and became amazing friends and, mentoring almost each other. I find you mentor me a lot more than I mentor you, but anyways,
we won't even get into
that debate here.
don't even go that direction.
I find that you say it all the time, and I'd like to just kind of lay it out for the audience that anytime Rico and I are in a really in-depth conversation, and there's usually points and periods where one individual, I'm not going to say controls a conversation, but is sharing ideas, strategies, information, just speaking, Rico will stop and he'll say, you know, is it okay if I go on, or is what I'm saying making sense? And it's almost, Rico, I almost look at it as a pattern interrupt to say, is this computing? Is this registering with you? Or have I gone too far? Are you the actual deer in the headlights? So is that what you're referring to, just for complete clarification? Because it was pretty clear, but for complete clarification, you're on a call. Right now, at this point in time, I might be speaking a little too long. I'll stop and say, Rico, does that make sense to you? And you would say,
I would say, you know, I'd say, well, yes, it does. And, you know, thanks for asking. I'll be candid. That was something I learned from that relationship that I was in. You know, it was just over all of a sudden. And one of the things when I, over the years, you know, the years or almost 2 years, you know, processing it, coming up from time to time, I reflected and I noticed how my interactions went with other people. Sometimes both on the excited side, as you've noticed about yourself, sometimes you come on too, you know, we can come on too strong with our positivity and have it turned on for some people too long. And then of course there's the other side where, you know, you're processing in a little heavier way. And so I noticed that, I started to notice that when I was processing about that relationship. And I said, you know, there are probably some times when she got quiet, and in her getting quiet, it probably would have been better for me to ask, you know, to ask where she stood on the subject, whatever subject it was that we were talking about, mm-hmm. you know, whether it was positive or negative. So I think that kind of birthed that idea. That was, you know, an observation that, that you learn, you know, you learn from processing mm-hmm. and saying, huh, I think I can do that better. Let me try this technique. How about yourself?
Absolutely. It's a fantastic point for us to close off this show on, because we are out of time. But you know what? As always, anyone listening, you can contact us at littleconversationstoday.com. Join our community. Find us on Facebook, Little Conversations Today. You can find Rico at just2choices.com. There's some fantastic one pagers, freebies over there to join them. Rico, thank you so much for being here again. And I just love how, you know, quick scheduling conflict, you jump right in and really just make it happen. So thank you.
It's an honor and privilege, Dan. Always thanks for helping me to grow and to make positive choices. I really appreciate that.
Remember, the past is history, the future a mystery. The gift is now. That's why we call it the present. Take care. We look forward to speaking to you. And final thought, your conversation does count. See you next week. Take care.
Thank you for joining us this week for Little Conversations Today. Please join Dan Deegan for another engaging conversation next Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have a great weekend and a week of achieving your dreams.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.